I want to shift gears to Troy Rank here from the Denver Post. Troy, I saw you on hold here, and thanks for hanging out and being patient. Before we get into your conversation with Greg Penner, do you want to piggyback on the conversation we were just having?
Yeah, listen, Jokic has entered the conversation as an all-time great, and the winning, as you mentioned, changes everything. You can't be an all-time great in a team sport if your team doesn't win championships. And now that they've won one and are favored to win another, it has allowed Jokic to be viewed in a different light. And that it's just, for a while, it just seems like he played below the rim. He wasn't the highlight guy, even though his passes are. And there just wasn't an understanding and appreciation for his game. I believe that has changed. For me, Zach, they're the San Antonio Spurs, and he's a better version of Tim Duncan. And that is not exactly the sexiest thing, but the reality is you have to appreciate it, and you appreciate you're watching one of the greatest big men of all time.
Crazy.
Yeah. Troy, before we get into everything with Greg Penner, what about today with the signing of Reynolds? How do you feel about that?
I mean, he's a cheaper version of Jerry Jeudy. He's a guy who's bounced around. He was a nice player. He played well against the Broncos when I was in Detroit last year when the Lions just absolutely boxed the Broncos' ears. He's a guy who's quick, who, you know, he's a secondary target. You know, what do you have, 600 yards, 5 touchdowns? He knows his way around the red zone. But it creates competition. Sean Payton is one who believes, Philip, that he can develop receivers. He's drafted guys late that have turned into very productive players. He's turned high-round draft choices into great players. But he also believes that in some ways receivers are a bit fungible pieces, and that a guy like Reynolds, I guarantee you, they think they can get similar numbers to what they got out of Jeudy. And I'm not criticizing Jeudy. It didn't work out here. He needed a fresh start. I'm happy he got paid, but they clearly needed to move on. And this gives them more competition with Brandon Johnson. I don't know if Dorsett will be back, but you bring back little Jordan Humphrey. I will be curious to see if Reynolds is used in a way that puts Tim Patrick's roster spot in jeopardy. I don't know that it will, but that's something to keep an eye on in training camp.
We're talking with Troy Rank, who is now a columnist at the Denver Post. Troy, you sat down with Broncos owner Greg Penner down in Orlando at the owners' meetings. What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, again, this guy is one of the smartest people I've ever been around in my life. He's a lifelong learner. You know, whether it was at Stanford, at Georgetown, he's this, you know, head of Walmart. He's on more boards than my fingers, than I have fingers. But he doesn't act like it. He's such a good listener. But one of the things, my biggest takeaway, Zach, and he brought this up when he fired the incompetent Nathaniel Hackett, is accountability. And if you demand accountability from your employees, then you have to have it from the ownership position. So when they paid $400,000 for new turf for one game, when they're adding new field turf, when they pay the coaches well, when they do all these things, they get new uniforms, like that for him is part of being accountable as owners. And he said, you know, we need to be held accountable by Broncos country. That it's different at times, it stings, because you have to remember, they lived a very, very non-public life in Walmart. They did like one shareholders meeting that was on YouTube a year. Now you're in the media all the time, but he is so driven to win. This is a guy who's in some ways reminds me of Pat Bowlen, and he's a triathlete type. He climbs mountains. He works out every day, golfs. He's crazy competitive. So where he has where the next step for him is continuing to find the balance of being present out there. And he's out there way more than I expected, but not meddling. And that was the brilliance of Pat Bowlen, was to put people in charge, pay them well, let them do their jobs. And if they didn't, you fire them. And Greg Penner's had to be around more to learn the industry, learn football. But believe me when I tell you, he's becoming more comfortable in that role and understanding what this team needs to do moving forward.
Troy, after being around Greg, George, Sean, what's your feeling going into this draft right now? Do you feel like we're going to move up in the draft to maybe possibly 4? And what quarterback is that looking like?
I do believe it, being down there. Again, I wish I could tell you the one. I don't think it's McCarthy, because it's been so public. You know how this is, Phil, that NFL teams never tell you what they're doing. So when Sean Payton let it out at the breakfast on Monday, but yeah, I went to a private workout with J.J. McCarthy. That's why I wasn't there, as we worked him out the next day. And I just don't think he would have given that out if he was their target.
I like it.
The one guy that's fascinating to me is if McCarthy goes 2, and there was a lot of buzz about that at the owners' meetings, that Washington might take him at two, is that would they move up then to three or four to get Jaden Daniels? Because there's talk now that Vikings would move up to three to take Drake May. If Jaden Daniels is sitting there at four, I mean, I would suggest they move up for him. I know he doesn't perfectly profile for Sean Payton, but I think he would be a modern version of a guy running the Sean Payton offense. He doesn't run around like people think. He stays in the pocket. He makes great deep throws. He's very structured, even though he's athletic and can run. So the guy, it just, again, we're still far away. We're still a month away or a little less. Jaden Daniels is one to keep an eye on. I just believe if they believe he's going to be there at four, and that order goes Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels is sitting there at four, I believe they would try to trade up. But again, that's educated speculation, but it feels like they're going to try to move up and get a quarterback.
Man, oh man. Again, like you said, we have just about a month to continue to analyze this and gather clues and speculate. But I want to shift gears here because, man, Troy, the Rocky season starts tomorrow, and it does not feel like it. It feels like there's less interest than ever in our Major League Baseball team coming off their first 100-loss season. But the thing that makes this season different is first pitch is tomorrow, and there's no TV deal in place that people can just turn on the TV and watch the Rockies like they always have. What do you make of the current situation when you add it all up?
I believe they'll have a TV deal. That's my belief. I've felt that for the last couple of weeks. Being around it, I was at spring training last week. I would be surprised if we don't hear before opening day that they have a TV deal, an over-the-air TV deal that is accessible for
by
people.
Tomorrow? By tomorrow?
It feels like that, Zach. Okay. Again, I'm not reporting that. I will say that I have a big column coming out tomorrow about the Rockies. It's not specifically around that, but I would be surprised if they don't have a TV deal in place by opening day pitch tomorrow. That's where the momentum is. Again, you have to cross the finish line on that. As for the team, yeah, I mean, they've earned this. They were terrible last year. It was their worst season. They do have some young players I like. Obviously, Tovar getting the big deal. He wanted that deal. He came to them and said, hey, I'd like the security of it. It's a great contract for them if he continues on his trajectory. Nolan Jones has a chance to be a star. Doyle's got a hit, but he's a great defender. The issue is real simple, guys. They just have to have some of these pitchers hit to have a chance to be competitive. Kyle Freeland, got to bounce back. He's got to be, 10-8 with a 4.2 ERA. He can't be, 6-15. Like, they can't be competitive if he's not good until, especially when Marquez and Senzatella get back around midseason. But ultimately, they've traded for basically 8 to 10 pitchers over the last few years. Some of these guys have to hit. And what I would say about that, I understand why they bulked up on pitching, because they need it. The problem with pitching at altitude, it's like buying a lottery ticket, and you can relate to this, Zach. Just because you buy 100 lottery tickets, the odds don't change on the tickets. Mm. There's still the specific odds for each ticket. You feel better about your chances when you have more tickets, but it doesn't change the odds, and that's what they have to overcome. If they can't get some of this pitching to pop, these young guys, it's going to be the struggle bus. I mean, it's just the reality of it. But I do like some of their young players as a baseball guy, especially Jordan Beck. When he gets here later this summer and the next year, that's a guy who could hit 25, 30 home runs. He's an exciting player. But it won't matter unless Chris Bryant rebounds like Dennis Rodman, unless they find some pitching.
We shall see. We don't have to wait long. First pitch tomorrow. It will be Kyle Freeland on the bump. Troy, we really appreciate you as always, and we'll catch up with you down the line.
You got it, guys. Take care. Have a great show.
All right. Thank you. That is our guy Troy Rank from the Denver Post. Look out for that column tomorrow about the Rockies.